Parshas Truma, in many ways, has the mission statement of the entire Torah. V'asuli Mikdash v'shachanti v'socham, the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should build the base of Mikdash, we should build the Mishkan, which of course, as emphasized by Chazal in the Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Naso, is Hashem's greatest desire. Nis'ave HaKadosh Baruch Hu li'os lo dira b'tachtonim. Hashem, more than anything else, wants to be a part of our world. And that's not to say that Hashem is out there and He's not down here, but there's a perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being out there and not down here. And Hashem wants to be a part of our world, so He commands us to make a Mishkan, to make a dwelling place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the Torah goes on to describe the various elements of the Mishkan. We have an Aron, we have a Kapores with a beautiful Kruvim on top, we have a Shulchan, and we have a Menorah. And I want to focus on the Menorah tonight and try to connect it to Purim as we prepare ourselves for Purim Haba Aleinu Letova. And the question is, how do you make a menorah? How do you make a menorah? It's not so easy to make a menorah. Right, Justin? It's not so easy to make a menorah. Menorah is a difficult thing to make. Source number one, Vasisa menorah zahav tahor, miksha te aseh ha-menorah. You should make a menorah that's completely out of gold. Miksha te aseh ha-menorah. The menorah is to be miksha, is to be beaten out. Te aseh, the menorah shall be made. Yerecha, the base of the menorah. Kana, the branches of the menorah, gvia, kaftareh, pracha, the goblets and the knobs and the flowers, mimena yihiyu, the whole thing is hammered out of a single block of gold, the single solid block of gold. Now, I don't know about you, that sounds like a daunting task, and it was a daunting task. And that's perhaps the reason the Torah says, te aseh ha-menorah, the menorah shall be made. It's in the passive conjugation, nifa. So Rashi says, why is it te'aseh? What about ta'aseh? All the other kalim are ta'aseh. Ta'aseh means to make it. What's te'aseh? It shall be made. Explains Rashi in source number two, why the passive te'aseh by creating the menorah? Te'aseh, menorah, me'alel. The menorah was created on its own. Hashem told Moshe, make the menorah, and yet the menorah is created on its own. Lefishaya Moshe miskasha ba. Moshe was struggling. How do I make a menorah? A single block of gold? I have to hammer it into Yerecha, Kana, Gvia, Kaftareh, Pracha. It's a fancy piece of art. Moshe was struggling to make the menorah. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe, you know what? Don't bother yourself. Hashleich es hakikar la'or. Take the solid block of gold, throw the whole thing into the fire. V'hi nasis me'alah. And the menorah will make itself. Lakach lo nichtov ta'asa. And therefore, the pasuk doesn't say ta'aseh, but rather the pasuk says te'aseh. The menorah made itself. Hashem commands Moshe to make the menorah, but really te'aseh, the menorah made itself in Moshe's frustration. Now, I want to point out parenthetically a gevaldik. How many things did Moshe struggle with? Chazal pointed three things that Moshe had a hard time either making or understanding how to interact with it, how to do it. What were the three things that Moshe struggled with? Chazal tell us, the three things are, if you look in source number three, this is from a Sefer Emuna V'Ashkacha, one of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, Rav Shmuel Maltzin. So he writes, he quotes from a Sefer Hadras Kodesh, B'shlosha Dvarim Niskasha Moshe. Three things Moshe had a hard time with. One was making the menorah. One was the shekel, until Hashem showed him a matbeya shel eish. And one was HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Kiddush HaChodesh, how do you sanctify the new moon? Moshe, I don't get it. How do you do this? Hashem said, HaChodesh HaZeh, Hashem Rashi says in Parshas Bo, HaZeh, Hashem showed him, oh, do it like this, do it like that, when the moon looks like this, when the moon looks like that. All those confusing Mishnayos and Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Moshe Rabbeinu also struggled with it. But says the Sefer Amun of Ashkacha from the Talmidei HaGra, an amazing thing. He says, Menorah Shkalim HaChodesh are the Rashi Tevos of Moshe's name. Menorah, Shekel, Shkalim, and Achodesh. These are the three things that Moshe struggled with. And not only is it Rashi Tevos, he says, V'gam Sofei Tevos Moshe. Right? Menorah Mem, Shkalim Shin, Achodesh Hei, and then the Sofei Tevos. Menorah Hei ends with a Hei, Shkalim ends with a Mem, Achodesh ends with a Shin. So Rashi Tevos, the beginning spells out Moshe's name, and the end spells out Moshe's name. I think it's such a powerful Vart, because so often we think that the things that we struggle with are the things that are like the antithesis of who we are. But we know from the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Zayin and Beis that a person's name is very much their essence. So how could it be that the name of Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu, are dafka the three things that he struggled with? And the answer is yes. Because the things that a person struggles with and grapples with becomes the things that define a person's life. It's not the things that come easy to a person that define the essence of a person's life. The things that a person struggles with. It's the menorah that Moshe had no idea how to make. And he turns to Hashem, I don't know how to do it. The shekel, I don't know what it looks like. HaChodesh is Alachem, I don't know how to be Makadesh, the new moon. It's dafka those things that define a person. The very last Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the Masechta that teaches us how to become people, how to develop our character. The closing words are the Fum Tzara Agra, in accordance with the struggle, is the gain. That's what makes a person. So yes, Moshe Rabbeinu, his name is defined by the things that he struggled in. And our name is that way as well. And again, I'm saying this all B'derech Agav, but it's important. It's an important point. Rav Leibola Eger, the grandson of Rabbi Akiva Eger, in his Sefer Imrei Emes, on Parshas Vayishlach, he writes from the year Tafresh Lamed Vav, he says, we're called B'nei Yisrael because the name Yisrael comes from Yaakov's fight against the Malach, Kisa Risa, because you grappled, you fought a Malach. So Rav Leibola Eger says, why aren't we called Vatuchal? It says we fought a Malach, Vatuchal, and we won. Because it's not about winning. It's about Kisarisa. It's about being engaged in the fight, being willing to battle. So yes, Moshe Rabbeinu is not called by all the things he did right in his life. His name Moshe is Meramis, all the things that he struggled with in his life. And I want to add one more point. As my father pointed out, it's Moshe Rashi Tevos and Moshe Sofei Tevos. It's as if the three things he struggled with are saying, not just Moshe, but what? But Moshe, Moshe. Saying his name twice. We know that there are four people in Tanakh whose name appears doubled. Who are the four individuals in Tanakh? Meaning we see their name two times in a row. Who are the four? Avraham, Avraham. Yaakov, Yaakov. Moshe, Moshe. Those are the three in the Torah. Don't say Noach, Noach. That one doesn't count. Ela told us Noach, Noach ish tzaddik. That doesn't count. Although the Balei Tosfos talk about that one. The fourth one's in Tanakh, Shmuel. Shmuel, Shmuel. And what does it mean when your name appears doubled in Tanakh? Like we find in source number 4, Vayar Hashem Kisar Liros, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the burning bush, and he even looks at the snare, and Hashem says, ah, Moshe, Moshe. Vayomer Hineni. What does it mean when you have a double name? So Rashi writes, by Avraham, and again, by Yaakov, Yaakov, in Parshas Vayigash, in source number 5, Avraham, Avraham, Lashon Chibahu, Shekofel Eshema. When Hashem calls you by a double name, it's an expression of love. So yes, the things that Moshe struggles with, Moshe, Moshe, Rashi Tevos and Sofei Tevos, of the three things that were difficult for Moshe. Again, the chiba, the love, and the beauty of a person emerges from the things that we struggle with. Lefum Tzara Agra. B'nei Yisrael Kisarisa, because we fought against the Malach. Okay, this is all B'derech Agav, but again, an important tangent. Okay, so now we come back to the menorah. So we said the menorah was created almost on its own. Teyase HaMenorah, Moshe struggled with it. So Hashem said, Moshe, don't bother with it. Throw the whole thing into the fire, and the menorah will take care of itself. But what's strange is you just go a couple psukim later, again in Perek Chafei, the beginning of this week's parsha, source number 6, and we find a different set of instructions by the menorah. Ure'ei ve'asei b'tav nisam asher ata mare bahar. Ure'ei, you should see, ve'asei, and you should construct, b'tav nisam, according to the blueprint, so to speak, according to the form, asher ata mare bahar, as I showed you on the mountain. In other words, it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe a blueprint of how to make the things of the Mishkan. And in particular, the menorah, which is the context of this pasuk, it sounds like Hashem taught Moshe how he himself can make the menorah, not throw it into the fire. It says Rashi in source number 7, Re'ei va'asei, Re'ei kan bahar tavnis shani maroscha. Look here, I'll show you how to do it. You know, like the step-by-step instructions. How to put together that, you know, bookshelf from IKEA or the Legos I was doing with my son Yaakov this afternoon, right? Very, very detailed instructions. Yeah, so Hashem gave a manual. Here's how to make a menorah out of a single block of gold. Magid sheniskasha Moshe b'maisa menorah, says Rashi, Moshe struggled with making the menorah at Jehera lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu menorah shel esh. Hashem showed him an instructional video, a menorah made out of fire, and he taught Moshe how to put together the menorah. So you mamash have Rashi just a couple of psukim apart, and it seems to be an utter contradiction. Did Moshe throw the kikar into the fire, and the menorah created itself? Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Moshe instructions? Some type of instructional video of how to make a menorah. So the yesod of answering these two Rashis comes from the Maharal. And we'll develop it a little bit with the Sfas Emes as well. But let's start with the Maharal. What's the back and forth? What happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Moshe to make the menorah. Moshe doesn't know how to make the menorah. Hashem shows him how to make the menorah. Moshe throws it into the fire. What's going on? Says the Maharal in his commentary on Rashi, the Gur Aryeh in source number 8. His super commentary on Rashi. He quotes again the Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Baaloscha. Zeh is this in the Torah. Zeh means something you could point to. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, point to the moon. Zeh Keli Va'anveyu, point to God, so to speak, by Kriyas Yamsuf. Zeh Masa Menorah, this is how to make the menorah. Says the Medrash, Moshe didn't know how to make the menorah until HaKadosh Baruch Hu pointed with his finger. Do like this, do like that. Says the Maharal, where it's bolded, Umashma, what's implied is very clear. That once Hashem showed Moshe how to make a menorah, Moshe made the menorah. Dim lo kein, and here's really the essence of the question, because if not, if Moshe's not going to be able to make, imagine here, Moshe Rabbeinu is told, make a menorah. Hashem tries to describe it with words. Moshe says, I don't get it. So Hashem says, here's a manual. Here's what it looks like. Right? And Moshe says, I still don't get it. So Hashem says, okay, throw it into the fire. So why did Hashem have to tease Moshe like that? If he's not going to be able to do it, so just tell him, throw it into the fire right away. Hashem's like, okay, let me make it a little easier for you. God, I still can't do it. Why is Hashem torturing Moshe Rabbeinu? Why is he showing him, im lo haya yachol lasos, if he's not able to do it? Why bother Moshe Rabbeinu in that way? Is Hashem trying to make Moshe feel bad? Does he want him to feel his own failure? What was the point of trying to direct him in how to make the menorah if he can't do it? And he quotes again the Gemara, v'chein mashma v'perak ha-kometz rabba, the implication of the Gemara Menachos, is that gimel dvarim niskasha b'moshe, three things Moshe struggled with, ad sheher lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'etzba, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu directed Moshe be'etzba, by pointing, by showing, do like this, do like that. Again, the implication is that once Hashem taught Moshe how to do it, he was able to do it. So explains the Maharal as follows, and it's very powerful. V'yesh lomar, where it's bolded. Devadai tzarich laharos l'moshe, atche yodavahevin tavnis ha-menorah. Moshe needed to study the menorah. He needed to try his best to make the menorah. He needed to do whatever was humanly possible in terms of beginning the process of the menorah. It's like my son, you know, trying to put together his Legos this afternoon, and he like kind of did it, and then daddy comes and helps him to finish it up and says, oh, you know, Yaakov, like this piece was actually supposed to be a little bit over. Oh, you skipped a step over here. But you have to try, you have to be willing to try, because otherwise you'll never learn. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, I want you to try. Here's how to make a menorah. And Moshe started. And he was trying to make the menorah. And then when Moshe got to a point where he couldn't do it anymore, Nasis Me'aleh. Hashem said, okay, Moshe, you made a good effort. Throw the menorah into the fire. I'll take care of the rest. But Hashem says, the menorah is your job, not my job. It's your mitzvah to make the menorah. I'll help you. But it's your mitzvah to make the menorah. And therefore Moshe was commanded, you start. Because the Jewish people were commanded to make the menorah. If Hashem wanted to make his own menorah, then God would have done it on his own. Hashem never wanted to make his own menorah. There was a partnership that was being forged between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So Moshe is told, make the menorah. Moshe says, I don't even know where to start. Hashem says, I'll show you. Try it. Moshe's trying, it's coming out a little crooked. Hashem says, okay, I'll take care of the rest. I'm proud of you for trying. So yes, Hashem was not taunting Moshe, Hashem was not being intentionally misleading. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, Moshe, do what you can, make the menorah. Try to make the menorah. Dim lo kein eich yaschil lasos, v'kasher hischil lasos gomer Hashem al yad. But once you begin, Hashem says, I will finish the job. I'll take care of the rest. And the Maharal ends off by saying, this is not just a halacha in the menorah. This is a halacha, so to speak, in Kol HaTorah Kula. This is a halacha in all religious pursuits. V'chol ha-pa'ulos shabam milamala. Any type of divine assistance that you want, You have to meet a Kadosh Baruch Hu part of the way. If you want Hashem to do for you, then you have to work with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And even open miracles like the splitting of the sea. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, you get it started. Va'ata, you, harem esmatecha, dot, 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 uvika'ehu. Stretch out your hands, stretch out your staff, begin the process. You start splitting the sea, jump into the water. Whether it was Nachshon, whether it was the entire Shevet, whatever it was, begin the process, and I'll help you to finish the job. V'chein kol anisim b'mitzrayim al yidei Moshe. And that's why Moshe and Aaron are always the ones who are getting the Nisim started. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to take responsibility. I want you to believe in the power of your efforts. Don't worry about the results. I'll touch it up afterwards. I'll make sure everything works out well. But I want you to start that process. What are we giving Hashem by starting the process? What are we offering? If in the end the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to redo the whole thing, right? In a certain sense, had my son not put together half the Lego thing wrong, I probably could have put the whole thing together from scratch faster. So why do I want him so badly to try to make it on his own? Why does Hashem want Moshe to make the menorah, and it's all crooked, and then just throw it into the fire, I'll fix the whole thing up. And then Hashem will say, wow, Moshe, great job, you made the menorah, right? Like a parent to a child. What are we giving Hashem by trying to make the menorah? What are we showing by making those efforts? So the Sfas Emes, I think, adds another nekuda in source number 9. Sfas Emes in this week's parsha from the year Tafresh Lamed Aleph, 1871. It was the beginning of his reign as Rebbe. The Sfas Emes writes where it's bolted. Again, Moshe is struggling. Hashem shows him the menorah. Eventually he throws it into the fire. Says the Sfas Emes, Im kein lama heralo. The same question that the Rishonim already were asking. The same question that the Gur Aryeh was asking. The Mara was asking. Why did Hashem show Moshe the menorah if in the end he's going to throw it into the fire? Ach ki al yidei rotzon ha'odam b'leiv v'nefesh be'emes nigmar hashar. Because you have to at least care. You have to say, I have a rotzon. There are things I'm not able to do. But at least, Hashem, I could say honestly that I have a rotzon to do so. I have a desire to do so. I want to do so. If I could, I would. And I really mean it, if I could, I would. Masha'ina yachol lasos nasa me'atzmo. And then Hashem says, whatever you can't do, I'll take care of it. It'll happen on its own. But you provide the rotzon. And that's what it means. Hashlech or, throw it into the fire. Throw it into what fire? Maybe what the Sfas Emes is alluding to, that fire, that passion, that desire that I wish I could. I hope I could. I'm willing to try. And then Hashem takes care of the rest. Kein hu b'chol mitzvah mikol ich Yisrael. Let's ask ourselves honestly, says the Sfas Emes. Is there any mitzvah that I can do on my own without Hashem's help? Is there anything I can do in this world on my own? I got this. Kochi v'otzim yodi. I got this on my own. No such thing. Yadayim yidei Esav. That's the world of Esav, to think I got this on my own. I can do it by the efforts of my own hand. There's no mitzvah. There's nothing I can do on my own. Do we really think that when we try to open a chumash and we read Hashem says do like this or don't do like that, we open a Gemara, we open a Shulchan Aruch, a Mishnah Berurah, we think we're going to be able to be mekayim the ratzon Hashem? If I asked you all right now, do we keep Shabbos? Yeah, we keep Shabbos. In accordance with the Ratzon of the Creator, yeah, we think our Shabbos is Shabbos thick enough. We can't do it. We could try. We could want to. We could make an effort. Rakafi Ratzon Ha'odam Nigmar Me'atzma. We do our part. We reach as far as we can. And we trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept it and help us to finish it in a way that, yes, Hashem says, yes, you do keep Shabbos. I helped you to keep Shabbos. But you made the effort. It was your Ratzon that got things started. And with this, the Sfas Emes explains from his grandfather a well-known statement in Maseches Megillah, on Daf Vav. Ke'inyin zeh peirish Adoni Avi Zekeini Mori V'Rabi Zatzal. My grandfather, the Chiddush She'arim, the first Ger Rebbe, explained. Yagati u'matzasi. The Gemara says, if a person says that I worked and I found, they should be believed. Says the Chiddush She'arim, working and finding don't usually go together. Working means making an effort, being in control of the situation. Finding, a mitziah usually comes about without any planning. You just were walking down the street and you found a lost object. Vidikdik, so my grandfather was medayik. Ki mitziah behasachadas. A mitziah comes about without any premeditation, without any thoughts, without any expectation to find anything. Umasha bal yidei yagia lama nikra mitziah. So how do you call something that a person worked towards How do you call it a metzia? How do you call it something that you stumbled upon, you found? And the answer to us is very obvious at this point. Who could claim that even after all my effort, I've truly earned it, so to speak? And therefore explains the Chiddush HaRim, Yagati Matsasi. What are we saying? Yes, I do my part as much as I can, but when it's all said and done, there's still an element of what? It's a matana from Hashem. It's a gift from Hashem. It's a metzia. I can't claim that I earned it. And he concludes the piece. He says, "V'chein kasav b'Moshe acher shahayim mem yom b'shamayim lechem lo achal." Moshe went to the heavens for 40 days. He didn't eat. He didn't drink. He didn't sleep. He worked pretty hard to bring the Torah to Klal Yisrael. And yet, says the Chiddush HaRim, when it's all said and done, "Vayitein al Moshe." It was given to Moshe. Vayitein zelashon matana. After all of his efforts, can we ever say we're worthy of Torah? That we're mekayim the ratzon Hashem on our own? That's not how it works. But the lesson is so important. The lesson is that when it comes to Torah, when it comes to ruchnis, when it comes to mitzvos, when it comes to any type of spiritual pursuit, our job is to what? Is to engage in the process. To try. In the end, it's always miraculous. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the end says, throw it in the fire. In the end, I'm going to take care of everything. And that's what the menorah represents. The menorah is the symbol, along with the Aron, but the menorah is the symbol of Torah in the Mishnah. The menorah represents that fire, that Esh of Torah. And everything in Torah is do what you can, do what you can, do what you can. But in the end, after all of your effort, after sing over it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to you as a gift. You thought to make ta'aseh, you're going to make it, but in the end it's te'aseh. Te'aseh me'aleh. You never made that effort, and that's what the Sfas Emes is telling us. If you don't provide that ratzon, you don't put down that foundation of ratzon, of desire, of effort, then you'll never be zochet to that miracle. You'll never be zochet to seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu finish the process for you. And therefore, Moshe had a ratzon, as the Sfarim actually point out. Rabbi Nachman has a famous Torah that Moshe Gematria 345, Ratzon's Gematria 346. And Moshe, so to speak, stretching higher than himself is sort of making that effort, doing that ratzon. But if we try, if we don't make that effort, again, we're never going to see Te'aseh. We'll never see that wondrous menorah pop out of the fire, so to speak. I had a conversation with one of my friends in college week, and we were talking about Torah Lishma. What do I mean by Torah? We were talking specifically about the fact that people get grades. And we were both talking about how much we both abhor that concept of giving grades. Now, I understand maybe to run a school, it would be very difficult to not give the students grades. On elementary level, on a high school level, on college, I officially give grades, whatever that's worth. Some of you were my students in high school. I officially gave grades, whatever. It runs against the nature of Torah. And my friend was saying to me, Rabbi Ismach was saying to me, he's like, what's the heter to grade someone's, you know, success in Torah? And especially if we're grading based on results, not effort. Are we grading based on effort? If a student in my class is being graded on effort, if that's the main thing, we're looking at the effort that the child is making, that the student is making, then great, then maybe a grade is appropriate. It means that if you tried your best, you get 100. Right? But if we're just grading on results, so a kid doesn't do well in the test, and now he gets a 70 in his Yiddishkeit. He got a 70 in Yiddishkeit. So what does that mean to him? Right? What are we saying to him? What are we suggesting to him? Right? And what we're learning here is that the whole thing is about effort. Moshe Rabbeinu, I can't do it. Sfas Emes says there's no mitzvah you can do on your own. If we were to grade your actual score, we would all be failing in Yiddishkeit. But that's not how Hashem grades us. Hashem wants us to make an effort. The valedictorian should be the student, the kid, who made the greatest effort. Not the kid who was the smartest, the brightest, who had an easy time acing all the exams. The results are up to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The effort is the part that's incumbent upon us. The Chavetz Chaim was once sitting with his son-in-law. People think the Chavetz Chaim wrote the Mishnah Berurah, which is true, but the Chavetz Chaim was also like the editor-in-chief of the Mishnah Berurah. There was a team of people who were working with the Chavetz Chaim to create the Mishnah Berurah. So the Chavetz Chaim was sitting with his son-in-law one time, working out a line in the Mishnah Berurah. And they were sitting for hours, trying to figure out exactly how to present this halacha in the Mishnah Berurah. And they're working on the sugya, and they're learning the Gemara, and they're learning the Rishonim, and they're learning the Poskim, and they're trying to figure out, mamish hours, until finally they produce like a line and a half of Mishnah Berurah. And the Chavetz Chaim's son-in-law turns to him, and he says, you know, someone's going to walk over to the shelf in the Beis Medrash in Bnei Yeshur, and pick up a Mishnah Berurah, and open it up, and in 30 seconds, I'm going to read this line in the Mishnah Berurah, and they're never going to appreciate that it took us hours and hours of toiling in Torah to produce this half a line in the Mishnah Berurah. No one's going to appreciate the effort that went into this. And the Chafetz Chaim said to his son-in-law, he said the following. He said there was once a father and a son who were working for the Russian Tsar. What was their task? They were tasked with building the railroad, laying the tracks to the railroad. They were working together in Siberia to lay down these big iron tracks for the railroad. And they would work for the Tsar if it was hot, if it was cold, if it was raining, if it was snowy, whatever it was. It was very, very difficult. They're sitting there and they're hammering away and their blood and sweat and tears and they're banging their fingers and they're cutting themselves and they're throwing their back and their mamash doing all this hard, heavy work for the Tsar to be able to produce, to build this magnificent railroad. So the son looks up at his father and he says, Dad, you know, someone's going to hop on this train, pay a couple of rubles, hop on this train, get from point A to point B. They're not going to appreciate the blood, sweat, and tears that went into creating this railroad, to building this railroad. And the father looked at his son and he said, that's not what this is about. This is not about people appreciating what we did. We work for the Tsar. That's our avoda, right? That's our job. We serve the Tsar. That's our job. Our job is to serve the Tsar, to give our best effort for our leader of our country, period. Whether or not someone appreciates our results, and they're able to appreciate, wow, what we accomplished for them, what we did for them, that's irrelevant. That's not what counts. It's our effort to serve the Tsar that counts. And the Chafetz Chaim said, it's the same thing. I could care less if anyone knows how much blood, sweat, and tears went into producing half a line in the Mishnah Berurah. All I know is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at me and says, I know you toiled in creating the Mishnah Berurah. There may be other opinions that disagree with my results, with my conclusions. Hashem's responsible for results and what happens with results. When that Jew goes over to the shelf in Bnei Yeshur and picks up Mishnah Berurah and reads that line and lives that halacha or doesn't live that halacha, that's Hashem's department. Our job is to carry out the will of Hashem, to make the effort to carry out the will of the Creator. And that's what the Sfas Emes was saying. Our job is to provide the ratzon, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be able to complete that process for us. I often think that we're not thankful enough to the avos and the imos for getting us to this point. I'm not just talking about our own parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. I'm talking about the actual avos and imos. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Sarah Rivka Rachav Aleah, what they did to become Jews and to help us to be Jews. They suffered a lot. They went through a lot. Avram was tested with 10 tests. And the Svarma Kadoshim say that every one of us in a microcosm, we go through the 10 tests of Avram as well. In our own lives, we experience the nisyonos of Avram Avinu. Like the Moray Naim, like the Rebbe of Chernobyl writes, and other tzaddikim. What was the ultimate test of Avram Avinu? I want to tell you something I thought of a couple years ago that I'm so excited to share with you. If you take something home from this year tonight, think about this one. What was the ultimate test of Avram? The 10th and final test, according to most, was Akedas Yitzchak. It started Lech Lecha Me'aretzcha, it ended Lech Lecha Al Eretz Amoria, Akedas Yitzchak. What was the Nisayon of the Akedas? You'll say so many things. The Nisayon of the Akedah was, Avram wasn't sure, according to some, if Hashem had even told him to kill Yitzchak. Maybe I didn't receive the Nevuah right. According to some, it says, Kach na es bincha, take, please, your child. It's bincha yichidcha. It's your only child, like Rav Soloveitchik described, the torment of it. It'll never be replaced. Avram, don't think you're ever going to have another son who's going to fill in for this. If Yitzchak goes down, this is the end of you. Your whole legacy is lost. All of that pain, the stira of being told in Bereishis Perachov Al, if Yitzchak's the future, Bereishis Perachov Beis, go kill him. There were so many parts to the Nisayon. The stira to Avram's personal avoda, a life of chesed, and now he's being asked to be a murderer. There were so many challenges to the Akedah. But I want to share with you something I only realized 2 years ago. It jumped out at me. It's so much a part of what the struggle of Avram Avinu was, and it's in so many ways our 10th and final test, the ultimate test that we all face on a daily basis. And here it is. When the Akedah is finally called off, in source number 10, Vayomer al tishlach yadcha lenar, a cry from the heavens, don't touch the boy. Val tas lo ma'uma, you pass the test. Ki ata yadati ki yirei elukim ata, now I know that you're God-fearing. Velo chasachta es bincha es yechidcha mimeni. You pass the test, Avram Avinu. And we find the strangest Rashi in the world. The strangest Rashi in the world. Avram Avinu should be jumping for joy. He should take his knife, he should fling it into that bush on the other side of the mountain. He should pick Yitzchak up and dance. After everything, after all the anxiety of, but he pushed himself to do it, and now it got called off. Baruch Hashem. Great news. Says Rashi in source number 11, Al tishlach lishchot, The Shechita is cancelled. Amar lo. So Avram turns to Hashem, and he's all upset. Im kein l'chinam basi l'kan. I came here in vain. You know what, Hashem? Okay, let's cancel killing Yitzchak, but let me just draw a little blood. Avram Avinu, Midas HaChesed, the great lover of humanity. All of a sudden, now Avram Avinu, he's got his knife out, and the Akedah gets canceled. Maybe I can just cut him a little bit. Such a strange Rashi. Esebo chavala. Let me just injure him a little bit. Let me draw a little blood. Hashem says, whoa, Avram, put down the knife. Amar lo. Al tasalom ma'uma. Don't do anything to him. It's canceled. Don't do ma'uma. Don't make a mum. Don't cut him. Don't hurt him. Don't touch him. It's canceled. My friends, what's the nisayon of the Akedah? You know what the nisayon of the Akedah is? You know what's an even bigger nisayon? You know what the last piece of the Akedah is? Is that when it gets canceled, and Avram feels so like, what was the point of this whole thing? Right? Efforts don't count. I need results. Where are the results? I got to be able to come back with something, right? I went through all this emotional torment for nothing. Where are the results? And Hashem is saying, Avram, I'm testing you to believe that it's not about results. I want you to make so much effort and feel that there are no results. And I want you to ask yourself, do you believe that your efforts were purposeful? That's the nisayon of the Akedah. To believe that when a Jew makes an effort, and at the end is, you know, forced, so to speak, to throw the menorah into the fire, don't feel like a failure. Avram, I'm challenging you to believe you did Ratzon Hashem. Nah, this doesn't count, Hashem. You canceled the whole thing. There's no results. Avram, I'm telling you, I want you to believe. Anu amelim u'makablim schar. Heim amelim ve'enim makablim schar. In the world, it's not about effort, as the Chafetz Chaim explained. But in our world, anu amelim for the effort, for toiling, for trying, and for listening to Hashem when He cancels the Akedah. You tried, and that's the Akedah. You passed the test. If you believe, you come down from this mountain as passing the test, if you believe that your effort is even more important than the results. That was the final step in molding Avram into becoming a Jew. Because as Jews, we believe in the efforts. It's not just about how much you brought in. What are the results? What do the results look like? But how much did I try? How much was I willing to partner with the Kaddish Baruch? And now for the last couple of minutes, we turn to Purim. Because on Purim, we meet someone who's Meshugana when it comes to results. And that, of course, is Haman HaRasha. Haman needed results. Haman needed to get the result that he was looking for. And if he couldn't get it, then he couldn't see any success. If he couldn't get 100, if he couldn't get that perfect score, Haman HaRasha, if he couldn't get that Mordechai to bow down to him, then he said, then I don't have the results I'm looking for, and kol zeh einenu shovali. There's an unbelievable piece from Rav Aaron Cutler in the first volume of his Mishnah Sirvi Aaron, in his multi-volume set of Musar and Machshava. He writes, it's in a section on tefillah actually, but he's describing our inability to appreciate the good things that we have. And he writes in source number 12, Kamo she'amar Haman in Megillas Esther, v'chol zeh einenu shovali. Can you imagine? Haman sees one little yidel with his payas Mordechai sitting at the gate. He won't bow down to him and he says, I'm a failure. Nothing's worth anything. Haman, let's take stock for a second. Says Rav Aaron Cutler, Harei haya eved, according to Chazal, Haman was an eved. He was a balan v'safar. He was a launderer and a barber. Va'ola ligedula l'malim mikol asarim b'malchus achashverosh. He rose from being a simple person to becoming the greatest in the cabinet of Achashverosh, Shaisa Moleches Bekipa, who according to the Gemara in Megillah was one of three people in history who ruled the entire civilized world. He's about as high ranking as a human being could possibly be. V'chol Avdei HaMelech Korim Mishtachavim Lo, and everyone bows down to him. V'chol Zeh Lo Hayashava Be'enav. And Haman says, but none of it's worth anything to me. Because I want to get a perfect score. I want results. And the result I want is I want Mordechai to bow down. Right? Haman, you're doing great. Appreciate how far you've come. No, I don't have the results that I'm looking for. And therefore, kol zeh einenu shovali, lefisha Mordechai lo eshtachav alo. So says Rav Aaron Cutler, an amazing insight on a cryptic Gemara. Shemati lefarish divrei Gemara b'chulin koflamit test. The Gemara says in Meseches Chulin, where is there a hint to Haman in the Torah? Haman min ha-Torah minayin. Where do we find Haman in the Torah? So you'll say, oh, maybe it's, I don't know, Parshas Beshalach by Haman. The Torah says the man. Right? Nope, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Hamin Ha'etz. Back in Bereshis, back in Gan Eden. When Hashem says to Adam and Chava, Hamin Ha'etz, from the tree that I told you not to eat, by chance, did you happen to eat from that tree? Hamin, it's spelled Hey, Mam Nun. Oh, Haman Min HaTorah Minayim. We found Haman in the Torah. What are we looking for? Says Rav Aaron Cutler, where it's bolded. Dahainu. Deminayin matzoi v'shayach koach chazeh. Where do we find the person who has everything a human could desire, but that one little bit that they don't have, that one little result that's not in their hands, because at the end of the day, Hashem controls the results. You just make the effort. Where do we find that someone who doesn't have one little bit, but has so much else, is still so frustrated? And the answer is, Hatshuva is, Hamin ha'et, it's Adam and Chav and Gan Eden. That's exactly where we find it. Dinei kodem ha'et haya Adam rishon betachas ha'gedula. Before the sin, Adam had everything that a human being could desire. Melachim tzolim lo basar. He had angels which were literally roasting meat for him. All you can eat barbecue, taken care of by others. Gemara and Sanhedrin, Midrashim. U'misanin lo yayin. They would filter his wine for him. You know, like the fancy people with the wine filter thing. You know, I don't even know what that thing's called. You pour the wine through the thing to air it out a little bit. You know, like the fancy people do. Misan lo yain, they were filtering his wine for him. Vayashari b'gan Eden, you're sitting in Gan Eden. And it's all yours. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Mikol Eitz Hagan, from everything in this garden, enjoy, eat it, enjoy it. V'rak Eitz Hadas Bilvad Neser Lo, there's one tree that you can't have. Haman, there's one Mordechai that you can't have. Have a little humility. Remind yourself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who finishes the menorah. You just do your part. And Haman went crazy. Just like Adam and Chava went crazy. They couldn't control themselves. I need to have complete control of the situation. And Hashem says it doesn't work like that. And when a person actually has that attitude, then they end up with nothing. Then a person ends up bankrupt like Haman. If he would have appreciated all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him to have, the success that he had, but he couldn't. He needed that last result. He needed that complete control. If he couldn't make the whole menorah himself, it wasn't worth anything. That's what Hashem taught Avram by the Akedah. You don't need to do anything more. You did your part. That's it. I need to draw a drop of blood. No, you don't need to draw a drop of blood. You need to listen to Hashem and do your part. And then you're very successful. And that's how we win on Purim. Purim is a day where a Jew has to say to himself, all year round I work with Hashem, we partner together, I try to meet Hashem part of the way. On Purim, though, we try even more to tip the scales in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's direction. What does that mean? It means to be mevatel our hishtadlus. To get to the point where not only are the results not in my hand, but even the effort is somewhat out of my hands. Says Rav Yitzchak Kuttner in the final source, the Pachad Yitzchak on Purim in Maimer Chaf. He's explaining a Maimer Chazal that says, anyone who goes to work on Purim will not see bracha from that. So you might as well not go to work. I was telling my students today, and I very rarely tell them anything. There's very few, I'm not a posek, I don't pass in halachas. But I always tell my guys, I say, you're going to have days off eventually. Right? You're going to get jobs, God willing, and you're going to have days off. So choose to use your days off for Chol HaMoed. Use your days off for Purim. Right? So you'll have one less day of skiing during winter break, right? But how are you going to go to work on Purim? That's not what a Purim looks like, right? If you can, as much as a person can. And Chazal say, you're wasting your time if you go to work on Purim, because anyone who does malacha on Purim will not see a simen bracha. Says Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, why is that so? What does that mean? So he quotes in Oz Beis. The Pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, Uvei rachacha b'chol asher ta'aseh. Oh, ta'aseh, te'aseh. That's our sugya tonight. The Torah tells us Hashem will bless you in all that you do. And Rav Kuttner says, this is the pasuk that gives us permission to do. Hishtadlus. Not only hishtadlus, am I allowed to go to work? I have to go to work. It's my obligation. It's my obligation as a human being to provide for my family, for myself. I have to work. After the chayit of Adam and Chava, we go to work. B'zayas ha'pecha toch alechem. So we have a heter and an obligation to work. It says Rav Kuttner, all year round, we're balancing hishtadlus and bitachon. Hashem says, I give you a bracha, you'll be successful when you work. That's an obligation to go to work. But says Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, there's one area which is not really in my control. All year round, I pretend a little bit that it's a partnership between me and Hashem, but at the end of the day, it's not really me and Hashem. It's really just Hashem. And that is Mechias Amalek. Because as much as the Torah says, Timcha, you should try to destroy Amalek, Hashem says, let's be honest, Emcha, I'm the only one. I will erase Amalek. And therefore, Futner says, so the day that corresponds to Mechias Amalek, just like destroying Amalek is not really in my control, it's Emcha, Hashem has to be the one to do it. It's a day where what? Where we emphasize the bitachon, the trust that Hashem will do it. It's not my hishtadlus. So that has to manifest itself in my what? In my life. And therefore, if all year round there's a partnership, I work and I also rely on Hashem. But on Purim, the day that celebrates the downfall of Amalek, which only Hashem can truly do, so I have to relinquish the reins to Hashem. I have to remind myself, kol ha'osa malacha b'purim, eino roa simin bracha. I have to stop being mishtadel. I have to even a little bit lessen my efforts and tip the scales in favor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's trust, my trust in Hashem, to remind myself that I'm not in charge. All year round we play the game. We even partner together to destroy Amalek. But on Purim I remind myself that even the efforts are not really from me. Everything's from Hashem. And at the very least, that'll be mechazik me the rest of the year when I'm in that world of trying to make the menorah. We're trying to write that, you know, half a line in the Mishnah Berurah. We're trying to carry out the Akedah, and Hashem stops me and doesn't allow me to finish it. Hashem says, that's okay. You did your part. You provided the Ratzon. So I leave you with a final story. And I've shared this story many times. I love this story. I'll tell it as many times as I can. There was a volume that was put out in 2006 by Yashar Books called My Yeshiva College. And they interviewed different people about their experience in YU back in the day. So there's a professor of Jewish studies at McGill University. He was a student, a rabbi, and now he's a rabbi and a doctor. He was a student in YU in the 1960s. Came to YU in 1963 from Haddonfield Memorial High School, New Jersey. It was a big chiddush that he came to YU. He had very, very little background in formal Torah learning. And he signed up. He said the first class that he took was a class called Poetry in the Torah. It was a class that met once a week for 2 hours. And he said, the amount of homework that I had in this class was unbelievable. He said, I came into class, and the professor told me, the rabbi told me, whoever was teaching the class told me, he said, okay, by next week I want you to learn poetry in the Torah. Let's learn Parshas Ha'azinu with Rashi, Rashbam, Ibn Ezra, Ramban, and Svarno. He said, I was coming from Haddonfield Memorial High School. I had never seen a Mikras Gedol. I didn't know what a Mikras Gedolos Chumash was. He said, I went to the library. There's no art scroll. There's nothing. He said, I sat in the library for hours and hours with a dictionary trying to understand Rashi and Ibn Ezra and Svarno and Hazinu, no less. It's hard enough with the art scroll translation. He said, I spent hours and hours and hours. I come to this class once a week. I've met for 2 hours. And I would sit there and I couldn't. Like, I had a little bits and pieces, but I... And every time the class, you know, people were raising their hands, answering questions, offering ideas, contributing to class. He said, I could never contribute anything of substance. So he says every week the teacher used to write in his grade book, zero, unprepared. Week after week, zero, unprepared, zero, unprepared. And I spent hours and hours and hours trying to prepare for this class. So he said, finally, I got up the courage. He said, I walked over to the teacher 1 week. I said, listen, if you want to give me a zero for not being able to contribute all that much to the class, I got it. It's fine. That's fair. I don't have much to share. But I'm begging you, please stop writing in your grade book unprepared. Because if you knew how many hours of effort I tried to put into this class, you'd realize it's not fair to say that I'm unprepared. I'm trying so hard. And I love this story because this is so much our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, no, let's see the results. So now we know the answer. We say back to Hashem, you're testing us. It's not about results. We know it's not about results. You're going to be the one to do the results. You're going to be the one to teaseh the menorah. But we're going to try. We're going to follow the blueprint. We're going to follow the Torah HaKadoshah. We're going to do what we can. We're going to partner. And again, Purim, we try to move farther away from that world of Haman, of being in control, into that world of Kol Ha'osa Malacha B'Purim. Ain't a roa bracha. I don't need to work so hard on Purim. I relinquish the reins. I remind myself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of results. If I am an Erlich Yid who tries his best or her best throughout the year, and if I remind myself that Hashem is the one responsible for results, and I come as best I can prepared to that class, then Amir Tzashem, each and every one of us is guaranteed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get a good grade. Have a wonderful night and Freilichen Chodesh Adar. Shabbos.